Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things, the show where I promise you no giant molesting sloths are going to try to share their amorous affections with Justin, unless the listeners really want that. Unless, I'm Andy Main, joined by...
Spin kick!
Spin kick, sloth survivor Justin Robert Young, and Brian, totally not a sloth, Brushwood.
Yo. No, that's my given name, man.
So, a lot of things going on, a lot of things in pop culture. We had Comic-Con just happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have this kind of like, if you were a nerd in the 1980s, like now your nerddom in 1980s is pop culture for 2017.
Yes.
I watched the Stranger Things trailer and I'm like, I literally dressed up as a Ghostbuster for Halloween. You know, I'm like, I made my own proton pack. I literally did that, but not with my other cool friends. and so the Stranger Things 2 trailer dropped. We got a lot of stuff came out. The new Thor trailer came out, new Justice League, new announcements. Guy who produces Legion is going to be doing a Doctor Doom. Do we want to watch the Stranger Things 2 trailer?
Pretty great.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
Yeah, I think it's a show that gets it. Obviously, you wouldn't be faulted for kind of just worrying about any kind of season two for a show that was so kind of expertly crafted in a season one, escalating the stakes in a story about a ragtag bunch of kids. I think can sometimes sort of stretch the edges of the intimacy that I think made the first one so cool, but. I'm pumped. I'm excited to see them tackle all those problems.
Yeah, it certainly helps that you know, one of the stars of the show is the romanticized version of what 1984 that it takes place in. You know, that that there are so many familiar you know, geek culture stuff. And yes, to those who notice specifics, there are some that stretch credulity. For example, The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing was a bomb at the time, so it's very unlikely anyone would have a The Thing poster. At the time, you know,
if you're a geek kid, I was into The Thing.
Okay. There's somebody who broke down the possible, not possible, and that ended up in the not possible bin, if I remember correctly, but I'm probably half remembering it anyway. But,
it's been watched with Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's fine.
But that's my point is that they do, that's why I say it's a romanticized version of it, because it hits us in the feels where we want most to experience that.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I'm curious, I've not seen that breakdown, whatever, but like, I'm from that time period, and like, I hung out with like the hyper nerdiest kids you can imagine. Shocking, I know, people. It's hard to believe. And, you know, I kids who read Starlog magazine, kids who collected posters, kids who did all
Fangoria.
The things, you know,
Fangoria magazine.
Oh yeah, Fangoria. Kids who they ran to. I mean, like that. It's like oh yeah, I remember my buddies doing their D&D campaigns in the basements and stuff, and that, like, I don't know, like. You know, was a Thing poster possible? And I mean, again, like, to me, it's also kind of, well, this is a movie trying to say, hey, let's make allusions to things that came, you know, before, or horror or stuff like that.
But, sure, yeah, sure.
And also sometimes to me, it's like, and again, haven't seen what you saw, but it's like, man, when it gets to that level, sometimes I feel like people are missing. It's like, you know, well, everything that's the wrong with.
Yeah. And beyond that, I think what's cool about Stranger Things is that it's not a show about the references. Like, it's not a show where that's the point of it. That's the window dressing, right? And I think that's going to stand out in a trailer where you're only getting out of context clips. But what made that show special is, like Andrew said, this, you know, very Spielbergian sort of tale and Stephen King kind of tale of kids coming together and figuring things out. Some with the cooperation and non-cooperation of adults, and wrapping that in all the rad horror trappings.
Right.
You know, like, we had, like, I had a friend that had an Empire Strikes Back one sheet a year before the movie came out because his mom was sleeping with the guy who was going to the Show West, whatever movie theaters thing,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, and I guarantee if I wrote in a book, like his Empire Strikes Back poster hung on the wall in 1979, people like, oh, wrong, fail. I'm like, well, no, actually that was true.
You got it from the Show West show. Do I have to describe what she had to do for it?
this woman.
So how dialed in are you during San Diego Comic-Con? Like, are you watching every trailer the moment it comes out, or do you parse your do you temper your excitement? Do you go down there and poke around?
I don't. I've gone before, but it's too much of a zoo. I prefer to watch it remotely, and I don't. I was more like, oh, I just follow a couple news feeds and stuff came up, but I don't try to seek out so much like spoilers or stuff or anything anymore, because it's like spoilers were neat when there was so little stuff out there to watch and yeah. You wanted to watch. Our trailers were neat when you wanted, that's the only superhero movie you're going to get in 1 year, so I'm going to watch the trailer and everything. But when I'm going to get four superhero movies in a year, I don't need to watch. I mean, I watched the Thor trailer because, well, cool, his last trailer was great. I'll watch this one. But I don't need these things.
What did you think of this trailer for Thor Ragnarok versus the last one?
Well, I think your comment, Thor, as Guardians of the Galaxy is on the mark. But great. I mean, it's like so much of Marvel was this cosmic kind of thing. And I've made the argument before that the most pivotal movie, I think, in the whole Marvel MCU was Thor, because Thor was the movie that had to introduce magic, gods, aliens, space, and all this other stuff, where the first Iron Man, it's like, hey, it's a guy who builds a mechanical suit.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah. He's funny Batman.
Fit. Right.
Look.
Yeah. Thor was the movie. It's going to be like, well, there are gods and there are aliens that look like us and all that. And so Thor laid the groundwork that made Guardians possible and everything else possible. So Thor was our first really super big cosmic Marvel movie. And that trailer, I loved it. I'm like, I just... it's everything I was hoping for, and having, you know, Taika as a director on that, I think so far.
Yeah, I just love them unleashing the full Hemsworth, like just letting him carry it as a comedic lead, as opposed to a heartthrob, you know, and not to say they didn't have his funny moments in the first two,
sure, but they were almost always fish out of water. Whatever.
Well, yeah, or they were context dependent, and
right.
And here it's just like, no, we're just gonna let Chris Hemsworth just like say funny lines and be kind of this, just him, that initial conversation with the Hulk of like, well, what have I done since I last saw you? My hammer got destroyed, so that happened yesterday.
Yeah,
still fresh.
Yeah,
and he's kind of got that Channing Tatum, very self aware. You know, of, all right, I get I'm the himbo, you know,
right,
and so I'll play the himbo really well. Himbo isn't necessarily dumb, but self awareness is a little bit different, you know. And
I also enjoyed seeing in the entire cinematic and I think television history as well, outside of maybe some cartoons that I haven't seen, the most verbose version of the Hulk that we've ever seen.
Finally.
Which I've been waiting for. I'm excited about.
I suspect that is a part of World War Hulk, not World War Hulk, Planet Hulk, which mm-hmm. this draws from. And I would not be shocked if we see some reason, some character based or story based reasoning why he goes from Hulk smash to Hulk makes conversation.
Yeah. Well, in the comic books, depending, you know, it went through various iterations, but I remember there was this this hot minute where it was this constant in-brain battle. Like, there'd be entire thirds of comic books that are just about the discussions between Hulk and Banner inside his mind, where he keeps one locked in a closet, and then
the other one
gets the upper hand.
Planet Hulk, which is basically Conan, but with the Hulk on an alien planet,
right?
The whole thing takes place with Banner just living as a voice in his head that he consults every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be fun.
You know, there, Mr. Fix-It Hulk and all the different iterations of that. So yeah, I'm enthusiastic. So I'm going to ask you guys a question.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched Stranger Things too. I'm like, great. I love that these kids are immersed in this nostalgia. I like this. I watch Ready Player One and I have the complete opposite reaction. So
yeah.
And I know that's an Andrew thing.
So the Ready Player One trailer I thought was ultimately very smart, because what it wound up doing for the next 2 days is setting, you know, all the people that were obsessives to figure out every car outline and every shadow shape, to pull out every little bit of kind of little representative nostalgia bits. I thought it was more reserved than I initially thought it was going to be with that much IP. I thought they were going to give even more close-up slow-motion hero shots to their big...
Well, in that regard, I mean, really, keep in mind, this was a teaser, not a full trailer, because if you haven't read the book, if you're not familiar with the story, then there's very little here for you to latch on to as far as what it's going to be. But really, this was a two-part press release. Part one, this is the level of production that you can expect from this movie. It will be executed to the level of this visual quality, which will be a lot of fun. Number two, the other press release, the dog whistle, is this is the level of IP integration that you can see. And I'm sure there's still even more stuff being worked out behind the scenes that they're trying to work out, you know, cross promo deals. You know, some of it is in-house stuff that they subbed out for, you know, DreamWorks properties, or for, is it a Warner Brothers movie? Is that what, whatever. Whatever it is, but then you have wild cards like the Akira bike, and that's one of the things that now, given like that is the Alpha and the Omega. That's all this thing was designed to do, and I think it did that very, very well. It didn't do a lot in terms of storytelling, but it did do a lot in terms of at least explaining the world building. But more importantly, they did so in a format that essentially makes the entire teaser trailer an Easter egg hunt. So people are poring over it frame by frame to try to find and identify, you know, which is very much in the spirit of the story. So in that regards, I feel like for the games they were trying to play, they absolutely hit. Now, as to your frustration, Andrew, I totally understand. It's like there's not a lot to follow in there.
It's a book I tried to read and I couldn't get into because it was a I know what it is thing. And I'm like, this is so felt. It wasn't for me. It was so thin. But it's the thing, like, I'm glad that people like it. And it's not like, oh, you guys suck for a lot. It's not, I'm not that at all. I'm glad that people like it. But it's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, you know, this is a movie now. And the thing, it's like, what drove me nuts about Rogue One is now an entire movie, you know.
Well, the hope is that it's Roger Rabbit, right? That's the best case scenario, is that it's action adventure Roger Rabbit with a different.
I'm 100% down for that. I love all the self-aware stuff. And keep in mind, you know, we've talked about this before. I've been friends with the author and a client for, you know, two decades now. So it's going to be hard for me to do anything except for be just positively
just cheerlead.
Yeah. Like it's really good and the world is set fire with it.
Well,
and I'm stoked for him.
How effing amazing is it that your friend wrote a book that's a hugely beloved sci-fi book, hugely, hugely, hugely beloved book, and now a Steven Spielberg movie. I mean, that is just effing amazing. And so just hats off to Ernie on that. I mean, that's just awesome.
And also, it is the return of fun Spielberg. When's the last fun Spielberg movie that came out? What, like Catch
Me
If You
Can? We'll see how this is.
From what chatter I mean,
this
heard
seems,
on
this
the
seems
side.
More less heavy than... You know, the bridge and the last few things that he's done.
I mean, Spielberg movie was Indiana Jones.
Good point. We could speak to one specific point.
I'm like, we'll see.
The story that I had heard is that, you know, he did Jaws, and then shortly after Jaws, he did, was it 1942? Is that what it was?
1941.
In 1941 is a parody of a Jaws moment in the middle of it, and apparently he didn't like it and sort of set up an either a spoken or unspoken rule where it's like, I'm not going to do parodies of my own stuff. I'm not going to riff on my own material from the past anymore. And he didn't. And he avoided like there were opportunities to, you know, you could make Han Solo run away from a giant rolling boulder or whatever, but he was not a fan of any of that. What I understand, that was a discussion behind the scenes about like, well, how, you know, in a world where Steven Spielberg movies are part of the world, how much of playing with your own stuff are you going to be doing? And I don't know how far it is, but obviously to some degree, he's willing to swim and play with those, swim in those waters and play with those ideas.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. The last fun Spielberg movie, attempt at fun was BFG and then Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah.
So Indiana Jones, Tintin, BFG.
Tintin was pretty good. I rather liked Tintin. You didn't like it? I thought the set pieces were fun to watch. I thought the color palette popped. I mean, I watched it with my kids. It seemed fine to me. I was surprised it didn't do better than it did.
Yeah, I was not the biggest fan of the book. I did get through it, but I am optimistic that a condensed version of that story can make a very fun movie, and I do hope. I mean, I don't know. I guess I do hope that it is a condensed, more layered version of the central plot, which is unrelated to all the IP. It is a story about a kid trying to do a thing, and like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is, you know, a whodunit mystery that happens to have every cartoon character on the planet, that this world where everybody is using these beloved avatars of the past is just a rich place in which these things kind of happen, and isn't necessarily quite as cloying as I found Rogue One, where it just so slavish to
very
limited
palette. My wife had not seen Rogue One, and I was like, well, we got 20 minutes to kill. The beginning of Rogue One might be the second best beginning in all of the Star Wars franchise. And so I started playing it, and sure enough, like, it's the beginning's pretty great. Like, the first 20 minutes had me on the hook even watching it again. You have a self-contained vignette. You have humanity to characters that have not been treated as humans. You have a viscerality to the Empire that did not exist. I dug it, and then it just crawls up its own butt for the rest of it and becomes this.
We don't need to get into the big thing
but,
anymore.
But the beginning of Rogue One is good.
Disagree. So I'll just leave it at that. I once it lands, it just dives. It just doesn't pull up from that. I mean, once the ship lands, I'm like, this just gets worse and worse. My opinion. I tried watching it through again. I'm like, and it took me all my strength in the world to be able to watch that movie through again. And it was, and again, this is bad, Andrew. I love the movie, guys. I loved everything about it. It looks amazing. Okay. So let me make that clear. Bad Andrew's opinion is, oh, good Lord. And when I got to the point where they're about to go to the Spaceballs, you know, force field thing, I'm like, I can't. I just can't. I love Star Wars too much to continue on. I can't watch you do this to yourself.
This really was straight up the plot of Spaceballs.
He's gone from suck to blow.
I was trying to justify everything in it, and I just, I can't. I'm going to give you my take on Ready Player One. So yeah. The book left me kind of, and it's like, all right, not everything's for me. And I get people like, I'm like, I saw War for the Planet of the Apes. I love to be like, oh, it was horrible. I'm like, all right, that's.
Wait, who says War for the Planet? Hold on.
Kind
of, who said War for Planet of the Apes isn't less than awesome?
Some guy on Twitter, you know? No. And it's like, I'm like, one, like, it's like, dude, you're really in the minority on that it's fine, but not everything's for everybody. You know, and I get people like, I love this. Like, you know, I think it betrays the originals. It's like, I'm going to bet you don't know anything about the originals. You know, yeah. I'm going to bet that's a thing you want to say, you know, and then like, you know, it just copies, you know, Moses and The Great Escape. I'm like, all right, you just named two movies that are copied. Which one is it copying? You know, and he left the bridge over River Kwai, which actually Pierre Boulez, who wrote the original Planet of the Apes, wrote that book. Anyhow, I digress. I don't want to be that guy. I'm going to tell you, I expected Wonder Woman to suck. I shared snarky little comments back and forth with friends, new people involved in production who said stuff, and I'm like, yeah, this is going to probably suck. You know, the DC suck. This movie's going to suck. I really enjoyed Wonder Woman. You know, is if you were to ask me what I thought were the best superhero movies of the summer, Spider-Man far and clear number one. And I would say that structurally speaking, I think Wonder Woman was a better film than Guardians. And I love James Gunn and I love Guardians, but I thought, you know, Guardians as a film, there was a flaws. You know, the Peter Quill does nothing for the first two acts. He's waiting for things to be revealed to him. There's a lot of beautiful set pieces, but I didn't love that movie like I did the first one. And so I'm willing to be shown. I'm willing to go into something thinking it's going to suck or whatever. And I like to be delighted. And Wonder Woman made more money domestically than Guardians 2 did. Who saw that coming? I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. It's close. I mean, they're going to make around, like I think, like 2 million of each other. It's amazing how closely they've tracked.
Well, they're still. I mean, it passed. You know, she passed ahead. So.
Oh yeah, I guess yeah.
Yeah, by 2 million. 389 to 387.
Yeah, I guess it's still got more runway in it.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, no, and I, you're right. Nobody would have seen that coming at the beginning of the...
Certainly not two people on a team playing a fantasy movie game.
Oh.
So I, yeah, my point is like I, and it's, you know, Wonder Woman domestically beat Batman versus Superman, it beat that. But I mean, I think that to me, the telling thing is it domestically beat Guardians, you know, and Guardians, we were talking, you know, 6 months ago, Justin and I were talking about what are the chances Guardians could do Avengers money?
Exactly.
You know, that trailer was great. And that's what we're talking. And now it feels like, well, that was dopey, you know. But I love the fact, my point is, I love the fact that Wonder Woman surprised me. It surprised me. And I'm okay with that, that, you know, me being, and then it's good, and then going, wow, this is actually really good.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And was there anything else? Any other big Comic-Con?
Well, there was the
I guess I saw bits and pieces of the Justice League trailer. They make great trailers. Can we just talk about how great their trailers are? Like,
trailers are good. They did good trailers.
I never saw Suicide Squad, but that was a fun trailer. That looked like a fun movie that it was pretending to be.
I be honest with you, I don't really go for DC's trailers because they all just look like video game footage. And nothing ever feels real to me when I watch them. And I mean real in the sense that, like Valerian came out, right? And people are like, what do you think? The effects look great. I'm like, everything looks like an effect. I'm watching people running across this beach, these aliens that look like in an environment that can only exist in a computer. It's like, you know, reminded me of Phantom Menace, where I'm watching a battlefield that can only exist in a Pixar movie, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, you know, that's my frustration is that, like, yeah, it's, you know, an impossible world you could never imagine. Like, yeah, nothing feels gritty. I don't feel that people really are there. I feel like everything's blue screened. So...
Yeah, you know, I think it's fairly clear what Justice League wanted to do with their messaging. One was, this is Wonder Woman 2, and two was, this is going to have fun beats to it, and it's not going to be a dour death march slog fest like the last two Snyder movies were. So I think it effectively captured that. It dropped enough, you know, and they randomly mentioned, you know, the Green Lantern Corps in the trailer so as to just seed the idea that that's coming down the pipe. And, you know, I think easily the most frustrating thing is just the fact that it's like Superman's logo is on the poster. They have the, like, you can't save the world by yourself or whatever, and all the different beginning things, like each, you know, letter is one of the logos or whatever. And they have Superman's logo on the poster, and it, like, the end is like, oh, look up in the sky. I wonder who it is.
Right.
It's like, Superman's in the Justice League. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't, dead to me, you know. Wonder Woman is so far the exception, and we'll see, but I think Joss Whedon's done some great stuff, but the Avengers movies are not among my favorite Marvel movies, you know, when it comes to actual story and stuff. But excited about Black Panther, you know, people seem excited about that, you know, Ant-Man, Wasp, that sounds like that could be very, very interesting. That the dude who did Legion is going to be doing Doctor Doom.
Ooh. Also Captain Marvel.
Set in the 1990s,
cool.
Which means they get to open up a whole other world.
Right now. And the debut in the Marvel Cinematic Universe of the Skrulls.
Oh, yep. Right on.
The Skrulls are the villains, which I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but
I don't see how you
Skrulls.
Can have the Skrulls and not have some kind of behind the scenes paperwork figured out for the Fantastic Four. Because the Skrulls, like, their literal power is to shapeshift and have the powers of the Fantastic Four. Like, you're going to introduce Skrulls. At some point, they got to have a rocky hand and turn partially invisible and have a foot on fire or something, you know?
Yeah.
With big stretchy arms.
I mean, you know, if you look at what, you know, the Spider-Man deal is, I mean, you never know. You know, it seems like Marvel really wants to kind of expand that universe beyond where we've known it before and to create a new sort of cycle of heroes. So they're not just doing Captain America 8, mm-hmm. You know? So you never know. But I mean, I think, I will, the one thing I will absolutely give to DC is they got that Wonder Woman out, that movie out before Marvel could get a what's her butt?
JC Calhoun in the chat is taking me to task, pointing out hashtag not all Skrulls. It's only Super Skrull that has the powers of the Fantastic Four.
Fair point.
Good point. Thank you. Good point.
Yeah, and by the way, it's because it's a 20th Century Fox production. You know, there's no saying the FF can't be part of it, but I think if you want to bring back the FF, maybe the Doctor Doom route's the way to go about it.
Yeah.
Now, that'd be interesting. So, what have you heard, or what has been said about the Doctor Doom?
All we know is that during the Legion panel, Noah Hawley, who is the showrunner for both Legion and Fargo,
right,
said that he is now writing or directing or both. I forget what his exact involvement is, but he is the lead creative force on a Doctor Doom centric story.
That's awesome.
Which, I mean, anybody who has watched Legion or any of the Fargos knows that he is very committed to wrapping his story around his villains. And he likes to do big, evil, interesting, competent villains. And, you know, if you look at one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most slept on, mistreated characters in cinematic history, it's Doctor Doom, who I think is just the best.
You know,
he's just so good.
Agreed.
So, other rumor is that we're also getting a Creed 2.
Yeah,
and Ivan Drago may appear in it.
Oh, wait, really? Oh, that'd be amazing.
According to Stallone, that would be pretty awesome. So, I want everything, even the things that I'm skeptical of or whatever, to do really, really well. You know, the Defenders trailer looked pretty cool.
Ooh, I am not optimistic about the Defenders. I'll have to see that trailer. The teasers I've seen so far, and the Defenders have been kind of hit and miss on the individual properties on Netflix.
I never finished Jessica Jones, so I haven't seen Luke Cage or Power Man. So I'm, or Iron Fist rather. So I'm.
Yeah, you know, the second half of Luke Cage is its own weird thing. First half was great.
First half was great.
First half was amazing. It was great. I have still not seen Iron Fist, nor do I plan on it.
Right.
But, you know, hell, I loved both seasons of Daredevil, and I thought Jessica Jones was good. So this seems interesting, and I don't know. I was not blown away by the Defenders trailer, and I do share your worries that it's like, how much of this team do I really like, and how much are we going to loop in now all these different kind of mythologies? But I think that it has a very, very good chance of just being, if it's more like Daredevil in that, look, this is a straight ahead action adventure story with an unfolding conspiracy plot. And eventually they're going to save the world at the end, then I think there's a good chance it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You guys see, what else was I pulling up here trailer-wise? Wait, this past story. Oh, the Star Trek.
Did not see Discovery. Any of that. What's the story on the latest one?
So they released more footage for Star Trek Discovery, which will be the CBS All Access Digital Premium whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's a very well produced one, but man, it's one of those things like, man, I don't feel anything, you know, like I don't.
It's just, we've just seen so many crap Star Trek shows, right? That it's like, it's going to need to get traction for me to take a look. Well, I mean, I'll probably watch the pilot or whatever just to kind of be a part of the zeitgeist. But man, am I not like, Star Trek is a brand that needs to win me back a little bit, unless they did a deal with like Netflix to do something with like the movie cast. Like,
well, okay. So the Star Trek Discovery thing, like that pilot, because if you're not familiar with the deal, they're going to have one episode that will be on real TV. The rest of it will all live behind a paywall on CBS All Access. CBS All Access. If I asked you to name five pay-per-view or you know, Netflix style services that you would buy, my guess is that CBS All Access would not make the top five. And even after this comes out, I bet it won't make the top five. So they like that pilot better be better than all of the movies put together if you intend for people to suddenly come swarming in to pay $5 a month for the privilege of seeing it behind a paywall. Otherwise, I could see it just quietly, languidly sitting out there and then bursting out onto the pirate video scene like, oh, it's the best show you're not watching. Get ready for that BuzzFeed article.
Yeah, maybe, you know, or it'll just kind of be like another Star Trek show where Star Trek fans and hardcores will really, really like it. And everybody else will just be like, yeah, this kind of seems a little slow and poorly
like
written.
All the rest of them. Well, and that's the problem is I just, that's my fear is that the thinking behind all of this is, well, let's promise another Star Trek. That'll force people to come in the door. And I'm sad.
You know, it's funny with the history of Star Trek for doing that was back in the 1970s, Paramount wanted to launch a fourth network. It was prior to Fox. They were going to do the Paramount was going to launch its own syndicated network, you know, and all this, all the, you know, stations that could get onto it. And their flagship program was going to be Star Trek Phase Two. And they brought back, they signed Shatner, Nimoy, I forget who wasn't part of it. They brought back a lot of the original cast and it was going to be, and they wrote scripts to do Phase Two, which would be a new TV series, would be the flagship show of the network. Plans fell through. They couldn't get enough carriage or whatever. And they're like, well, this is dying. But then Star Wars hit and did great. And they're like, well, we've got scripts. We've got props. Let's make a movie. So they took the pilot episode of Star Trek Phase Two and it became Star Trek The Motion Picture, which is why it feels like a very extended pilot that doesn't go anywhere. And then from there, they continued on. And then it was in they did Next Generation, which is a syndicated, just a total syndicated play. Next Generation did really well. Then it was back in the 1990s, and they said, well, Paramount's going to – the UPN was going to launch, and that's when Voyager was launched as one of the flagship shows for UPN.
Right.
So this will be the third time that I think that property
–
Oh, yeah. Voyager, please come home.
Yeah, you know, we got the new behind-the-scenes footage for Jedi, Last Jedi,
yeah,
which looked good.
It's funny. I was talking to your friend of mine, Riley Blanton, on the Star Wars Report this week, and we were kind of joking at the not-so-subtle messaging that Star Wars likes to get out with these behind-the-scenes little reels with all the interviews where in the first one, it was just any and everybody talking about, look at these puppets. Look at all these real places we're at. Look, like, if I see the color green, I shoot it with a gun. I'm J.J. Abrams. Like, we went to real space to shoot everything.
Right.
Like, no composite effects at all. And now in this one, it's all like, wow, this script. So different.
Yeah.
So different. It's just totally, you will never expect it. Like, it's like, okay, so the first one you're saying this isn't the prequels. The second one you're saying this isn't just a retweet of another Star Wars
right,
movie.
Right.
Some of the comments commented, mentioned Star Trek as being a libertarian socialist fantasy behind a paywall. I'm going to make this clear. There's nothing libertarian about Star Trek.
Yeah, no, there's zero libertarian about
it. It is a socialist fascist fantasy.
Right, right. You'll notice all the architecture is all top down. We're going to get started. We're going to get started.
We got to wrap this up here.
You want to go to space? Join the military, folks. Only way you can do it.
There's only one way up there.
You want to be an explorer, 1930s Germany? Join the SS.
So what else? You got any picks? I'm still enjoying, man. I hopped on my Rad Power Bike, my e-bike, radpowerbikes.com/rogue, just rode my bike for 90 minutes during we finally had a cool front come through. And there was a gorgeous, unbelievable sunset, and I spent the entire time listening to the audiobook of Station Breaker, and I'm just having the most fun listening to it. Please do yourself a favor. Sign up at audible.com/rogue. Get your free 30 days and use your credit to get Station Breaker.
Thank you. The reviews, if you look at that, are like crazy.
Five crazy. Stars, 175 customers.
Five star.
Yeah. But, you know, I just tried to write a book that I would have fun with, and it seemed to resonate. So it's an ebook. It's in Audible format.
Hell yeah. It's great. I will vouch for that as well. My pick is Action News, the new card game.
9 days to go, man.
We're in the back nine, baby. And we're having a pretty good day today, so everybody go ahead and spread the word on this. This is This is the time to make sure that we can punch through as much of these as we can. We can make the deck as big and beautiful as possible. And really, our big push is 1,000 backers. 1,000 backers gives us enough money to make the app that can be downloaded and time out all your rounds and everything.
Very exciting. Can you give details on what you're thinking about for the app? Is that top secret still?
No, I mean it's going to be a hopefully a very slick looking timer that has some ambiance and effects that kind of brings you and your friends and family into the game.
So like you don't know Jack style, like we, you know, 30 seconds to air, that kind of thing.
We hope we're going to be putting it together ourselves. So I don't want to make too many promises that so we under deliver, but that is along the lines of what we're looking for.
That would be amazing.
My pick is War for the Planet of the Apes. If you haven't seen it, by all means, check it out. I really, really enjoyed it. And you know, I heard comments in there that I could address at a later point. But I would say any of the quibbles I've heard from people, like I think that was addressed.
Yeah.
You know. So I just when I went back and I watched the first two, it was that good? I said, let me go back and rewatch the first two, and just I love the story, and I love that, you know, where the focus moves to. And I'm a fan of the originals. I own all the originals, watched those since I was a kid, read behind the scenes books, read as much as you can imagine on it, and looking at what the story, read the Pierre Boulez book, you know, I've even read the synopsis of the script he tried to write for this. He wrote a sequel to Planet of the Apes when they wanted to do the second one, called Planet of the Men, and kind of bonkers, but anyhow. And there was even an attempt they were going to do in one version of it. There's, you can see makeup tests for a kid that is a half human, half ape hybrid.
Oh, wow.
They wanted to do for the original. So kind of crazy. So anyhow, that's my pick, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Boom.
It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.